be seated. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, please. I've entitled my message this evening, Teaching is Important. I want you to know that really stretched my gray matter to the extent I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Whoever came up with the idea that you title messages, well, for me, and I don't know if he listens to any or all of these, fellow by the name of Arthur. Would you put your messages on my webpage and all this? No. Please, no. You have to. Why not? We had the greatest thing, and then came the clincher. Now that I said yes, I have to put a title to all this. Anyway, did you know that teaching is important? Let's just pray before we look into the Word tonight. Thank you, our Father, again, that we're able to gather here, and we thank you, dear God, that teaching is important. Lord, I thank you tonight that as we look at the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every born-again person is important to the cause of Christ. Dear God, that we don't have a chain of command where we have the good and the better and the best and the important and the unimportant. Dear God, that all of us were bought with the blood of Christ. And we're all significant in the sense that if we really look at who we are, and if we do have significance, it's because of what you've done for us. Apart from that, dear God, that I was a failure already, and you saved me. I pray, dear God, that we would recognize and see that and understand that and learn that. And, Lord, that our teaching would be just the pure, unadulterated Word of God that changes lives, that cleanses lives, that illuminates us, Lord, that equips us to go on this pilgrimage and for heaven, and we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Several weeks ago, I had thought about, and Eugene had talked to me about, and we had done this a little bit before, but, you know, there's a lot of teaching ministries here at Bethel Baptist Church. And it's important that we work together as a team. And I thought about this before, and I wanted to look at, and once again, it's the idea here is that teaching is important and something that we miss sometimes. Every once in a while, we would have an evangelist come to our church. The guy who has, you know, 20 sermons and 20 pairs of shoes. I was thought about tonight changing my hairstyle, so I parted my hair in the middle. I can no longer fit the criteria for the great and wonderful preachers who have their hair just right and say, huh, a lot, and go like this. I can do that, and the only thing that would move would be a little bit of skin in my ears. The hair, well, it's just, my hair isn't gone, I just part it, I have a wide part in the middle. But there's something I think that we miss, and it says here, and we talk about, and we've been looking at the Great Commission quite a bit lately, because we've been, as we studied through Mark's Gospel, been looking at the parables of the sower and the seed and the soil. And this morning, as we looked at this idea of the seed and the idea of sowing and reaping and planting and the idea that we don't know how seeds grow. And by the authority of Mark chapter 4, don't tell me that you know how a seed grows. Because Mark chapter 4, that happens to be the Bible, God's final authority says you don't. We know a little bit about how a seed grows, and we can study scientifically, but the real truth of the matter is, God makes seeds grow. Here in Matthew chapter 28, it says, Go ye therefore, oh my goodness, we've hit the word already. Look what it says. It says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teaching is important. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we have the word again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And it dawned on me that teaching is important. And a while ago, I sat down actually with my wife and with a pencil and a piece of paper, and I started to write down the teaching ministries that we have here at Bethel Baptist Church. And I want to say this sincerely, that if you're here and you open God's Word and you teach young people, old people, middle-aged people, any people, if you go out and you're teaching people on the highways and the byways at work and you're witnessing, you are important and you have an important ministry. James says, be not many masters. And the reason is, and I look at my own ministry as not being more important than somebody who teaches Sunday school, I have more responsibility. I'm more accountable. That's about it. That's why it annoys me sometimes. Please don't call me Reverend. If you do, duck and then run. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm not Reverend. And if you want to call me pastor, that's fine. That's the office that I have. I'm a pastor teacher. Pastor teacher. Teaching is important. I never call myself doctor. I have a doctorate. That carries with it the idea that I spend a lot of hours studying. That doesn't mean that I'm a more important person. And the only time that you will see me sign my name doctorate is if it's on a government form, because although we're supposed to pray for those who have authority over us, and I do, is sometimes, and this is really wrong, that if you put those two little letters and a dot behind it, people will listen. If you don't, they won't. The only other time that you will hear me call myself that is sometimes I'm in the company of ignoramuses who are doctors, and it annoys me to the point that I will tell them that I'm a doctor. An individual, a couple of, we'll call them ministers, pastors, whatever you want to call them, phoned me one day and asked, would you come join us for coffee? Sure. So they even picked me up, and I sat across from the table from somebody who introduced himself as, I'm Dr. So-and-so, and this is Dr. So-and-so, and they introduced me as Tony. I thought, isn't this interesting? And I didn't bother to tell them that I happen to have a doctorate. But someday down the road they will find out, and they will learn that even though you can be a doctor, you still don't know what you don't know. There's another thing that I learned. You know, there's not a person on the planet Earth who does not know something that you don't. And I found it very interesting, and I learned a lot when I was in Newfoundland, because I worked together with a lot of illiterate people who were brilliant. They knew what they did and what they were able to do to the extent that they would make you feel foolish. Therefore, and I just want to say this once more, I believe that tonight as I look across this room, if you're here and you're born again, God will use you if you surrender your life to Him. And I wanted to meet together with those who teach in Bethel Baptist Church, and we, you know, we're all just one another spoke in the same wheel. We're all parts of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, you know, if all were an eye, where were the hearing? If all were an ear, where would the sight be? If we were all just feet, we'd all walk off and leave church in boredom. Listen, if you're here tonight, and this is, I'm not sure if I should do this or not, but I didn't want to take all night Tuesday night explaining. Teachers are important. Teaching is important. There are some who teach youngsters, there are some who teach little ones, and we teach them to go up and get ready and be prepared to go into the highways and byways of the world and eventually into heaven. We have a junior church program here at the church. I believe the teaching ministry at junior church is important. Just a couple of other verses that I want to make mention of tonight as we go through this. Actually, this is devotional. But we need to think about this. You need to appreciate what you have. This is a great little church, don't you think? Part of it has to do with the teaching ministry that goes on that others besides myself would do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, as it lists the gifted people that are given to the church, it mentions pastor, teacher. Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, as we go through the list of spiritual gifts, mentions a spiritual gift of what? Teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of a bishop is apt to teach. It's required of us, it's expected of us as believers to teach others. Do you know what the the responsibility of older women, according to 1 Timothy, is to teach younger women. Responsibility of older men is to teach younger men. As a believer, our responsibility is to teach. And we need to teach. We have a junior church program here at the church. While I'm standing behind the pulpit here, apt people in our church takes the little ones downstairs. Sometimes people think, oh, what an insignificant ministry I have. No, you don't. That allows me to be able to, it's one area or one age group in our group that I don't have to be thinking about having to reach. Did you ever stop and think what it's like to be a preacher, especially to be a pastor? As an evangelist and a missionary, it was a little bit different, but I have a responsibility to share God's word to a group of people. Some are unsaved, some have been saved for 50 years, some are backslidden. And I have a responsibility to open God's word in such a way that God's word speaks to the hearts of everybody where they are and that you would grow. And in other rooms here in the church, there are others who are ministering to young people. I appreciate our junior church program. What about you? Friday evenings and on Wednesday evenings, we have people who, and right now, I was sharing with people a while ago that, you know, when as a pastor and as deacons, I would appoint somebody or ask somebody to take on a certain ministry, we look at it as, oh, this person is, well, they've been asked to minister to this group or whatever. What we fail to forget sometimes is somebody who's a teacher or a nurturer, it's my responsibility to see that those of you who are here, if I recognized spiritual gifts in you, that you're exercising the gifts that you have. And sometimes somebody, although you don't necessarily have to know it, or the congregation, I don't make an announcement every time I do something, is if I recognize a gift in someone, it's my responsibility to nurture that gift so that person can come to the place where they can go, maybe full-time ministry. There's a young man standing in a pulpit right now tonight who is there partially because here it was recognized that Tim Whidden was gifted in certain areas, in certain ways. And we nurture him. And we need to nurture each other. Wednesday night teams, there's a nursery. How in the world, how important is it that we have a nursery in our church? Sometimes you don't look at that as your teaching or whatever, but that's a part of the teaching ministry here. What about kids in the basement? You know, a young lady not too long ago approached me that she wanted to be baptized. And the idea is that she trusted Christ in the basement of this church as a ministry, and I was thinking of someone in particular, and we won't mention names tonight, but a number of people have come to me and mentioned the name of this same individual that so-and-so led me to the Lord in the basement of Bethel Baptist Church. How? Was he preaching? No. Was he on the street corner witnessing? No. It was in kids, children's ministries here at Bethel Baptist Church. Teaching is important. I jotted down some others. What about ladies' missionary group? Teaching goes on there. It's important teaching. It's important for us to realize and understand and to know that as I speak to you this evening, right here around the globe, there are millions of people who have never heard the name of Christ. Missions is not an arm of the church, in a sense. It's not something separate from the church. The Great Commission is to go into all of the world. It's just simply a part of the church, and we should be responsible to take the gospel to every corner, every tribe, every kindred, every person has to hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching is important. What about ladies' Bible studies? Do you know there are ladies who would attend Bible studies who would not be comfortable to ask a question in an adult Sunday school class? Who maybe wouldn't be comfortable to ask a question one-on-one with one of you, but because we have a ladies' Bible study and so on, it's a viable, it's an important ministry. What about Sunday school? And I thought about our Sunday school classes a lot of times. We have kids who come to this church, who come to our Sunday school, who don't attend the church. Their families do not attend the church. And you look at the teaching ministry that goes on here, teaching is important. Daily Vacation Bible School, we would have a number of young people who would come through the doors of this church who only hear the gospel here. And we have a group of people who would gather together and who would set way aside 1 week out of a year to teach. And sometimes I've talked to people, this annoys me. I've been in churches. And somebody would say to me something like this, well, I'm only a Sunday school teacher, or I'm only this. And I've had people suggest to me that when I came here for missions that I got promoted. That's ridiculous. And I've had people suggest that, this is this church. Watch this church go. It's going to grow and it's going to get huge. Good. Does that mean that this church doesn't count because it isn't huge? Do you know there are people who will come through the doors of this church who aren't going to go to some of those other places? And we have a sovereign God who puts the person who's gifted in a certain area in the place, and teaching is important. Go into all the world and teach. Talks about teaching. We're going to meet together on Tuesday night, and we're going to discuss a little bit the philosophy of our ministry here at the church. What's the mandate of Bethel Baptist Church? And the purpose of our meeting together is to better equip us to reach the folks. And I was thinking, in my adult Sunday school class, it's kind of interesting because I think it's unique. In the circles I travel, it's unique, and I don't know if you're thankful or not, but there aren't too many churches around where a pastor will say, whatever it is that you want, that's, you give me a question and we'll answer the question and we'll look at it. Why would I do that? Because I think it's important that if you come and you sit in a class at Bethel Baptist Church and you have a question that you need to have answered about the Word of God, that we meet that need. And we will share with you, this is what the Bible says about this issue or about this thing. And it's been interesting the last little while. We've been talking about sowing of discord and stumbling blocks. Wish I could tell you that our church was totally and completely and absolutely exempt. But we're working on it so that we can cut down on that problem in the future. The worst violator in that area and that influences or hurts our teaching, it would be the person that you look at and I look at in the mirror. And as I got ready to, and I was thinking about how am I going to chair that meeting exactly, and I've done this a lot of times, not here, but this isn't something new. We had missionary meetings at Arrowhead when I was there monthly. And the idea is that the missionaries that would be within driving distance, we would get together and we would discuss how do we best do this and do this. And the idea of this is to improve our church, but I wanted to make sure that you knew that as I look across the room tonight and as I look across there Tuesday, if you're here and you're a teacher in Bethel Baptist Church, you have a very important biblical ministry. Teaching is where it's at. That's what we need to do. And my mind went back to a number of years ago. Before I went to Bible school, I hadn't been saved long. We had two children. We were attending a church. And at that time, I had just been saved, and my needs were being met. I had started to grow. I was born again, and I started to grow. I want to tell you, maybe that's why I'm homophobic. I found out later on the pastor that had actually nurtured me along was a gay fellow. Boy, I want to tell you, that takes the wind out of your sails. Walking across the campus at New Brunswick Bible Institute one day, and Mr. Breeden beckoned me over. Wasn't so-and-so your pastor? Yeah, did you know he's gay? And I said, Mr. Breeden, I'm not used to those kind of jokes coming from you. No, it's not a joke. Imagine that. And I thought about it long and hard, how somebody who could get involved in something like that could bring me from a mediocre believer to somebody who was now attending a Bible school. Listen, we categorize sometimes too much. The fellow, my understanding is, has his life straightened out to some degree at this point, at least. But during those days, Lugina and I were attending a church, and this is, you need to get this. Because sometimes I think, I don't know what you think, when I look across this pulpit and I say, and I believe that we are right now tonight sitting in the best, by far, I never used to say by far, but by far the best church in miles. Why? Maybe not necessarily because I'm the best pastor and you're the best teachers, but we make sure that we adhere to and stick to God's Word as final authority, and that our teachers are teaching God's Word as final authority. And some of you have found out already and will find out that if somewhere along the line I get wind or think that it's less than what God's Word says, we're going to have a meeting. The fun part is, just because I meet with somebody in my office doesn't mean that it's something negative. We have a lot of good positive meetings in there as well. But what was happening, Lugene and I were attending a church. Things were going well. I was growing. She was growing faster than me. She's not here tonight. I can say that. Anyway, if Lugene thought all of a sudden that she blossomed and was bigger than me by morning, I'd be in serious trouble. My hair wouldn't only be parted in the middle, so would be my head. So I won't say that. But the truth of the matter is, she was growing and attending ladies' Bible studies and different things and so on. But one of the things that was lacking in that church, yes, there was a Sunday school, but there didn't seem to be anything that was reaching our kids. There was a church across town, and they had this little group. It was called Jet Cadets, an elderly couple. On Sunday evenings, would take the kids from the church, a little small group, and take them downstairs, and they were teaching them certain things. And this couple, actually from Woodland, Maine, would drive to McAdam every week, and they were teaching the kids. And that was an important, and the interesting thing is, I'm standing here tonight because there was a church had something for our kids. In order for me to take my kids to the place where they had something for them, I had to go there too. And I started to see God's Word in a different light. And I would go and I would listen to the teaching and I would think, wow, I didn't know that before. I didn't know that before. I didn't know that before, because what I was starting to hear was expository preaching. And God changed my life through that. And I've shared with you before, someone had invited me to... They used to call them at that time fellowship suppers that used to be held by the New Brunswick Bible Institute, and I didn't want to go, but I thought, okay, I will go. And a fellow by the name of Lindy Putnam opened God's Word and changed my life. Because I recognized and I realized and I understood and I knew that God saw me as an individual that was born again and that He could change me and use me. And if you're thinking that I'm intense, that I'm passionate, and that I'm an extremist, good for you. You go home and tell somebody else. And tell them to come back that there's a church where God's Word is open. You know what changed my life? It was the preaching of the Word of God. Because somebody had a group for kids. And you know what? They weren't trying to lure me into the church. In fact, the pastor in that church, he wasn't gay. He had a meeting one time after I had preached somewhere, and he wanted to see me. And he sat me down, and he told me this. He said, "You're the worst preacher I've ever heard." And he suggested that when I left Bible school that I entered into anything but preaching. The interesting thing is, as I speak tonight, he's growing cucumbers. He don't preach anymore. That's just how the Lord works, isn't it? I thought you just have to keep on keeping on and do what you think is the right thing. How about this? We have 5 more minutes to get through. I haven't got through the first page of notes, and I've got 2 pages. Imagine that. Don't worry. You know already if you attend here, when the big hand gets straight up, I'm going to quit whether I'm finished or not, so you don't have to worry that you're going to be here all night. I sat down the other day and I was thumbing through, and people call me also provincial. And I asked my wife one time, "What do you call me provincial for? What does that mean?" And I concluded from what she told me, it's just another word for boring. The idea is just this. You can become so systematic, and I don't know where this came from. You know, when you drop out of high school and you have the conclusion that you really can't learn and you don't know anything. But I discovered that I was systematic to the extent that I have, and if you were to look at the books in my study, there's more than 1,000 books in there on the shelves, plus in boxes, there's others. But every book I read, there's a new table of contents that I made myself. Well, what's wrong with the one that the author made? Well, nothing. But if I want to find something that has to do with what I'm looking at, and I will look through them sometimes, and I just happened to look through a little pile of magazines that was given to me the other day, and I thought, I wonder if there's anything in here about teaching. And I come up with, and I found, actually, five things that had to do, qualities of a good teacher. And one of them, before we got to that, was just this. It came from a Confident Living or a Good News broadcaster from 1985. The influence of a teacher. How many of you were influenced as a child by a teacher that you had? Do you know this Chuck Swindoll? Ever heard of him? He's a good Bible teacher. He's a very good speaker. Do you know that one of the things that motivated him and kept him going, that he had a Sunday school teacher that told him that he didn't have to stutter his whole life? And he moved on. There was an area in his life where he was stuck because he stuttered. I stutter sometimes. I don't care. It doesn't matter if a person stutters every once in a while. It's because sometimes your mouth gets going faster than your head. And when that happens, you're in trouble anyway, so if stuttering will stop you, it might save you from saying a whole lot of wrong things. And if you did say wrong things, no one knew what you said, so it doesn't matter. But I noticed as I read through that, the idea of the influence of a teacher. You can be influenced in a negative way by a teacher. You might be a teacher in a Sunday school class and some poor guy comes to your class and he leaves broken and hurt by the teacher. We don't want any of that. We don't want anybody to come to Bethel Baptist Church and leave and go home and think that for some reason that they don't meet our criteria. I want to tell you, you would be a poor missionary. How many of you know Chuck Johnson? The fellow who stuck the spear through him. Can you imagine if Chuck Johnson, New Tribes Mission, would have looked at that guy and says, Oh, you sinned. You stuck a spear through me. I'm not going to witness to you again. You know, I got sent home from Sunday school. Boy, it really hurt my mother's feelings. It's fun for me to go back and that teacher. I knew you were going to make it. I knew you were going to do it. Well, no, you didn't. You told me that I didn't know nothing and I had to go home. I forgive her. I love her. She comes to Moncton. I hope she goes to another church, though. That's the influence. We don't want to have a negative influence. I'll go through this very quickly to make sure I stay honest. Qualities of a good teacher. And why we're going to meet next week is because I believe that anybody, like if you're gifted to teach young people, middle-aged people, older people, there are some qualities that we can work on. There are some things that don't come natural, they're spiritual. One of them is know your sins. Recognize your sins. Make sure that you know that you're a sinner, not just the kids. Keep short accounts with God. Maintain a close relationship with the Lord, good communion with the Lord. Prepare. Whoever wrote this article in the Good News broadcaster just said, prepare, know your material. So get up Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, rush to the little directory or whatever you call that. What do you call those quarterly things that we get? The curriculum that somebody wrote, regular Baptist press. Don't bother looking in the Bible. Just open that up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning and come, you'd be really well prepared, right? No, know your stuff. It gets interesting, and some of the younger preachers, and there have been a few of them in my life so far. Tim is one here. There's a young guy who we helped, a few in missions, and put them on different mission stations and so on. And one of the things that I had advised people, and you're going to think, maybe you think this is funny. Teach what you know. Do you know there was a time in my ministry that I preached only the gospel? Because I hadn't studied theology and I hadn't studied doctrine, and I knew because somebody told me. His name also would have been Mr. Breeden. Just make sure that you stay in the league that you belong. Don't try to teach something that you don't know, because there's going to be somebody there who knows more about that than you, and they're going to make you look foolish. That's okay. You can live with that. But you know what else? They make the Bible look foolish. So teach what you know. Make sure you know what you teach. How do you do that? Well, by preparing. I can remember a guy came to me one time, and this struck me as funny. Preached a message on hell. The guy came up to me after, and he says, I spent 40 hours studying for that message. That's not what it's like. You know how long you study? As long as you're awake. And now I'm not saying there's no recreation, but the truth of the matter is the best preachers I know and the folks who teach the Word of God the best that I know wouldn't be able to in any way, shape, or form calculate the time that they spent studying. In preparation for a message, you develop your message from what you've studied years. That's good expository preaching, to spend time studying God's Word. Just study the Word, and study the Word all the time, and you'll grow and become a good teacher. Show a genuine love for the students, this person said. Then I thought this was my favorite. It says, maintain order in the classroom. I'll tell you, the adult Sunday school class gets unorderly sometimes, and even today I had asked somebody to take one of the students out, but nobody did. Maybe that's why she stayed home tonight. She said she was sick. Anyway, you have to maintain order in the classroom. And lastly, I thought this was interesting. It said, be enthusiastic. You know what? I got to the place, and I never thought I would ever get here, back when Eugene was buying theology books and she was reading them and trying to teach me, and I didn't want to hear. I never ever thought that I would get to the place where I love to teach God's Word. But I have a passion to teach God's Word. That's what made me a student. Most unlikely person. And do you know who recognized I was a student? This is interesting. It was a teacher. His name was Dr. Doherty. He encouraged me to study and to study some more and so on. Anyway, the other thing is just these words that I said. I've had people call me passionate, intense, extreme, and so on. And I'm going to tell you this, and if you're a Sunday school teacher or if you're a preacher, I'm glad that Amos is a good preacher. Do you know that? It's a pleasure for me when I hear a young man that came through this church to expound Scripture. I'm glad he's a good preacher. I'm glad that Tim Whitten's a good preacher. This isn't a competition. I'm glad tonight that I can tell you that up down in Amherst tonight at the Open Bible Church, Jamie Grooms is an exceptional preacher. He's coming to preach. That's why I asked him to come. It isn't a competition. And I'll tell you what happens in missions and so on. And I learned a lot from a fellow by the name of Bud Elford. When a young missionary would come to our mission and he was doing well, Bud was excited. Sometimes there were those who looked at them as a challenge and as a threat. When we look around the team that's going to meet together on Tuesday night, you be a good teacher before the Lord. Don't compare yourself to some other teacher. Kids will do that for you. You don't have to worry about that part. But the idea is just this. Keep in mind that teaching is important. It's in the Great Commission. Teaching is one of the spiritual, motivating spiritual gifts. It's also listed, this idea of being a pastor teacher. It's a qualification to be a bishop, to be apt to teach. So when we sit down together and we look at the teaching ministry in our church, just keep this in mind, that we need to be team players. We're laborers together with God. And if the Lord has given you and blessed you with a group of people, young people or whatever age, to teach, be thankful. Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, tonight again for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen. And that we don't have to be ashamed, and we can rightly divide the word of truth. I pray that you'd give us a zeal to teach young people your word and to watch them grow. And, dear God, also that we could look at our own lives and make sure that the example we teach is worthy of the word as well. Amen.